Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Star Wars Jedi Room podcast, where three master Jedi have an hour to write scenes from an upcoming hit Star Wars Jar Jar movie. Page by page, week by week, one scene at a time.
In a galaxy far, far away.
And you know what? I would say that we are in a galaxy far, far away, sitting here in our homes writing Star Wars fan fiction. But
a galaxy far, far away from where we thought our careers would be at the age of 34.
My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos. And oh, I forgot to do a prequel quote this week. I hate sand. It's coarse and rough, and it gets everywhere like sand.
Hi, my name is Matt Arnold, and yeah, I mean, I also forgot to, I don't know, I don't have any connections in Hollywood. That's the joke. So, okay. I just woke up. Hey, everybody, let's do this. No, I'm freaking pumped. The last scene is like, I was re-listening to the episode to review it, and yeah, I mean, those are just my type of scenes. I'm so freaking pumped about this newfound buddy cop movie with Jar Jar and Darth Vader, but they're both very bad cops. It's very good. So let's hop into it.
Let's cop into it.
It's like Bad Lieutenant, but with two Nicolas Cages. It's good.
Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call Naboo. God, Bad Lieutenant's such a good movie. Oh my God. Yep. I've never seen the original. I've just only seen the Werner one.
Yeah, the Werner one's very good, but they're both very good.
Can
movies.
We do a scene where like two old ladies come into a room and we just reveal Jar Jar hiding behind the door shaving himself with an electric razor? How long was Nicolas Cage hiding in the corner waiting for these two ladies to come home? That's the part that always gets me. I love it. It's so good. Hey, watch Bad Lieutenant Protocol New Orleans. It's fucking wild. Wild movie.
Wild movie.
Sucking down their inheritance through that fucked oxygen tank. God, sorry. It's so good. It's such a good movie. Where were we last week? Okay, so yes, we're at another put up or shut up moment, which is we've been talking about the Red Table or the Red Council and what are they up to? Qui-Gon's been banging on about how Jar Jar's got to betray his friends and be an evil person so he can get into this room and figure out what the Emperor's doing. And now we're at that scene, so we need to figure it out.
Is there just going to be another table talking scene?
No. I mean, I think you want to do, I don't know. Something. Well, let's figure it out. So some thoughts from past episodes, there is like the, is this a proto Death Star thing? Like, oh, we are going to blow up planets. It's going to be cool. Is it like a fake out where he gets in there and it is this fantasy pod racing league? And all of this, all of his hard work has been for nothing. And you just do that. Qui-Gon just keeps put, because there is a world where it is just like Qui-Gon just keeps pushing Jar Jar further and further. Like, you need to go deeper. There's got to be something. You got to figure it out. And it's like, man, you died. Like, it's horrible and tragic, but you need to, like, I don't know. It's either something big or it's nothing. And either one of those turn the story a different way.
It's obviously not nothing, because obviously the Emperor has plans. Mm-hmm. Now, are you saying that it's like what? Like the hunch that Qui-Gon has or the information leads them to like a red herring or a dead end, essentially.
And yeah,
like
dead what, end. Yeah, would be the
what Jar Jar was doing was useless.
Yeah, that's its own kind of low point for someone who's been selling off pieces of their soul. Like, you're like, it's not even worth it. It's like you pulled the lever on the trolley problem and it killed everyone somehow. Like, the
you pulled the lever on the trolley problem and the trolley was stationary, and then you look across the street, there's another trolley that's running over everybody. You're like, oh no,
like, I pulled
it wasn't even the right trolley. Yeah, this does feel like a moment where we kind of have to maybe look back at our outline and just think about the next few steps going on, because we've been kind of flying by the, not the seat of our pants. I think we've kind of gone to the next thrust of it.
We've been using the story force to guide our way. And
yes.
You know.
I mean, yes, in terms of put up or shut up, like, I do think we have to be like, what is the plot?
what is 60 pages into this thing?
What is the plot? Wait, we don't have to worry about that, Matt. This is a Star Wars podcast. Hey-o.
What is the adventure? What is the bad thing that he's fighting against, like, ultimately?
So we've kind of steered ourselves into a little blind alley here, because in our original version, I don't think we ever broke that there was some specific bad guy thing that they were doing. It was just like, Jar Jar, you've got to crush Naboo and subjugate the people. And then I think our next thing was just going to be like, oh, the Emperor's showing up to, like, you know, have a visit and get.
Yeah, we kind of hand waved the whole like second act. Like, he's inside now doing stuff
for
a while. Okay, so just throwing stuff out there. There's two obvious possibilities, and then we can try to think if there's a third one, not necessarily more interesting, just a different one. But the third ones are, yeah, something related to the Death Star, whether it's like finding the crystals in the first place or getting the technology or beginning to build it, whatever it is, something with the Death Star. There is also the continuation of finding the Jedi children, which, you know, they do in the video game, but it's also like part of the story leading up to A New Hope, is like going to find the Padawans and everything. So that's what they did.
Wait, what video game?
What was the latest Star Wars video game?
Fallen Order, which was really good. It was
Fallen Order was really good. So that's all about like
story in that too.
Yeah, that's part of the process. Yeah. Is post this, like the Emperor is looking for all Force sensitive children to make sure there's nobody that can rise up against the Sith. But they also use a bunch of the Force sensitive children to do a bunch of experiments and like horrible shit and whatnot. So like, yeah, the Emperor is looking, is going around the universe looking for Force sensitive kids post Revenge of the Sith.
So, yeah, so where that leads me is that you could do, like, also, like, what are the tools we've actually established in the movie, right? Like, because it's like, we haven't talked about the Death Star once, so, like, pulling the Death Star out of your ass. So, like, we have talked about, like, these fucking fish that they're turning, that they're, like, again, we've got, like, a lot of processing plants, right? Like, we got the fish at the beginning, they're, like, making blasters and stuff like that. So, like, I wonder, like, could you do, so the first thing that leaps to mind is like, you do that the plants are a cover for like their deep boring, or they're using, they're hunting for some abandoned Gungan force relic or something like that. And they're trawling the oceans and trawling the, all of these plants and stuff. They're using them to essentially, you know, scrape the bottom of these lakes and rivers and stuff like that, because they're looking for this thing. And the thing is like, the first thing that popped in my head is you would do its Jedi Cerebro, right? Like it's like the thing that Professor X has that lets him locate all the mutants on Earth, right? So it's like some sort of like resonance crystal or whatever you're going to do that will allow...
You know what? We haven't had some good crystals in a while.
It hasn't been a good crystal story.
I guess you could say the Infinity Stones are crystals.
Those aren't crystals. They're stones.
They look like crystals.
So you would do that...
Cool, crystals. Keep going,
so you would do that. There's this crystal or whatever, and like if Darth Vader eats it, he'll know the location of all the Jedis or the all the Force sensitive people, and they'll be able to hunt them down and kill them, right? Like, you know, or rather than hunt them down and kill them, like recruit them to the dark side or whatever.
You know, it's one of the good things they don't do in the original Star Wars, or even
what,
even in the prequels, they don't do the MacGuffin. That's such a JJ thing. Like, I don't, like,
that's true.
We gotta find some matches. Like, no, it's like, it's just because, you know what? Fucking human drama is more important.
I know you're mad at JJ for admitting that he doesn't know you in public, but you don't have to drag him through the mud. Like,
yeah,
he
man,
didn't
come on,
MacGuffin,
dude. It's too much.
I hate The Force Awakens. And it's like, even prequels, like, you don't need a MacGuffin. How about just actually have like a human child that's like your character that's like a threat or difficult?
You're right. Star Wars doesn't do MacGuffins. Certainly, they would never do, like, I don't know, a robot that has the battle plans for the Death Star. That
no, no, I know. Obviously,
the original MacGuffin, more or less, in the modern.
Okay, but first off, but like at least that droid. But you know what I mean. That droid's a character. They're not searching for it. You know what it is. It's not like
they are searching for it. But continue.
R2-D2,
the bad guys. It's a whole. Anyway,
no, no, I know, I know. But we, the audience, knows what it is. The MacGuffin is an actual character, and we see the message. Early in the movie. It's not. R2-D2's asleep. And then end of the movie. Oh, he's awake. Here's the map. Or we must find Luke Skywalker for some. My point is, like, it's clearly dramatic.
We must find this droid that's out there somewhere.
It's not Pulp Fiction where it's a mysterious object that's just everybody's looking for no dramatic reason. You're just kind of like, what is this thing? It doesn't matter. It's a MacGuffin. Like, my point is that
I see what you
it's
mean.
Like a clear. It's not like, you know, we need some like we're searching for something, like just like tied into the drama in the first place. Han Solo's frozen, you know, we got to go get him.
You're, OK, so that's all very interesting.
I want to make one pitch for the Padawan stuff.
OK,
not necessarily saying we do the Padawan, but one nice thing about that is that it does tie into like, you know, the whole Darth Vader killing a bunch of children. And also it's just in terms of like a dark plot, it's definitely like one of the more like sinister aspects of Star Wars. So like if what they are doing is finding a way to make it easier to search for like Padawan children, you know, I don't know, that could be something.
If it is like a Cerebro type thing, it would be that like he will be able to see everybody.
Yeah,
which is just, again, it's the what it's that we always were joking about, is the all spy movies now are about the knock list. They're all about like, but the list of spies will get out because they don't know how to fucking American spy films can't deal with the fact that America is the bad guy now or whatever. Like, so looking down the road, the other thing is, it's like, what are we going to do with this thing in the ending? Do you want the ending to be that Jared, again, because like what we were originally talking about, like one of the things I thought was very interesting is like Jar Jar has an opportunity to assassinate the Emperor at the end,
mm-hmm.
and he uses it as a bluff to save Kroke instead. Like was kind mm-hmm. of the, right? Wasn't that what we were talking about?
Yeah.
The idea of being that, like, you know, he kind of rejects this game of like, I'm going to sacrifice myself to, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
You know what you need though? So whatever the plot is, that I think you point something out that is important for us to plan for, whatever the machinations of this plot is, needs to get the Emperor physically to
that's true too
Naboo,
yes
right
very
like
true.
We need to have this big assassination, have these people all in the same place, so whatever it is needs to be like, okay, the Emperor's coming, yeah, you know what I'm saying, like we need to get the Emperor there.
Mm-hmm. I'll also say plugging it into like the Gungans as well seems interesting to me, like mm-hmm. and whether it is literally like they're like, actually, there's this, we're looking for this super Force-sensitive sight spoken of in Gungan myth, you know, and maybe you find out that Kroke was looking for that thing, too, because she was trying to use it.
Oh, and they're like, you need to physically be there to channel the energy, and it sucks the energy of the planet's force into your balls, and that's, like, how you can get powerful. It's like a reverse Death Star. Instead of you shooting... you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
here's what it is it's that what they don't tell you is that the dark side is like drinking too much Mountain Dew when you're in fifth grade and everyone says that drinking Mountain Dew makes your wiener small. And like,
I thought it was that it made you infertile.
The dark side's got yellow dye number five in
yellow
it.
Yellow five, baby. Man, you're really bringing me back right now.
Yeah.
He's like, the one dark side of being a Sith Lord is that your balls get real small. And then, but there's this site on Naboo that you can channel dark side energy into your balls and you can get your balls back.
I have to imagine, really quick, I have to imagine the sort of people who are the marketing team at Mountain Dew are also sort of people that, like, that must have been the worst day for them ever. Can you imagine those bros with their feet up, like, wait, what's being said on the playground? Dew makes your ball small? That's the opposite of what Dew's about.
That goes completely against the brand ethos of Dew, man.
I feel like Coca-Cola would have rolled with it. It's like, hey, man, Coca-Cola's just about enjoying your life and living and being happy. And it's like, but Mountain Dew's about extreme big dick living.
But if I snowboard and my balls are small, then no one's going to want to drink our Dew. We're going to need to completely get rid of this marketing plan. Dude, it makes your balls big. Oh, no.
There was some diamond-handed marketing genius at Dew. Because you know there was someone being like, we got to release a statement and be like, hey, just so you know, Mountain Dew doesn't make your balls small. And they were like, that is going to make our problem 10,000 times worse.
Worse. You can't address
that. No, officer, I didn't. I wasn't. I'm not the murderer.
I would love to see a Mad Men reboot set in the 90s. Extreme era of marketing with like,
yeah, they go, Dunger, like, we got a problem. Like, playgrounds are saying do mix.
Okay, you know
your
what I want?
Small.
Okay, I want back up. I want back up. You know what I want? I don't want all of these breathless serial killer documentaries. I want a full on documentary and to be like, in the 90s, school children believed Mountain Dew containing Yellow 5 made your balls small. We dug into the heart of Middle America to find the dark origin of this rumor.
Like, I just feel like it's the VP of Mountain Dew is picking up his kid in the car, his, like, you know, fifth grader, and he comes and he's like, Dad, hey, son, what did I hear them screaming at you?
Son,
nothing.
Why do you have a black eye?
Why did they beat you?
I was standing up for Mountain Dew, Dad. I was repping the brand, and they told me I have small balls now.
I did you proud.
Oh, man. Hey, son, you know what? You don't listen to what bullies say. You just brush it off. What did they say, by the way? They said Mountain Dew makes your balls small. What?
What the
slam
fuck
on
did
the
you
brakes.
Just say to me? Slam on the brakes. Turn around.
David Mickelson over at Snopes had to write an article in 2005 said, does drinking Mountain Dew cause one testicles to shrink? And it is. The status of that is false. These rumors were spread primarily about PepsiCo's Mountain Dew soft drink.
I cannot fucking believe I remember that. I haven't thought about that in probably since sixth grade when someone explained to me that.
Look, I think it's clear that you could tell that even young boys have trauma about their bodies if we all instantly recall how much we thought about does all the Mountain Dew we drink make my balls small? That's not a thing a third grader wants to deal about when he's just trying to get some dew before the big game.
Okay, you heard that right, Freddie?
Yep.
And we're back. So I've dabbled in programming recently, and I made a little program in my computer that if we were talking too much about testicles or nutting yourself, my computer just shuts down for a moment to get us back on track. So we can move on.
It's a sort of fail switch that's programmed into the MadBot 3000. He's the ultimate podcasting tool, which means he'll only go on a rant about Mountain Dew and your balls for 10 minutes before his circuit's overloaded.
Okay, bear with me. Emperor Palpatine, what they're making with all this fish oil is yellow number 5. He's like, if we can spread this to the galaxy, we'll make all Jedis infertile because their testicles will be small.
It's like the plot Black Dynamite does that. Anyway.
Okay, so not to completely discard that, but like, right, like if something that can like lower midichlorians and other, right, like, you know, midichlorians, you know,
they
what
go
saying?
Around, they capture them. That's established in the lore. And that's like, if you're going to do the Padawan thing, like, that's the most terrifying thing. And you do that. Like Kroke's child is like force sensitive, or there's force sensitive Gungans, or Gungan Jedis. Like you could do that. I'm not saying that we will, but that's something you could play with.
Yes. So looking to our climax, basically looking to what we're going to, our original thought was that this ends with like Jar Jar doing what seems like a suicide commando raid to kill the Emperor.
Yes.
That winds up being a bluff to save his friends. And then he dies and no one knows that he did this brave thing.
Yes.
What feels interesting to me about that is that it's like, we think Jar Jar's going out in this blaze of glory to like do the right thing and kill the Emperor. But the real right thing is to, you know, it's the old Rose Tycho, you just fight, but saving the people you love, not killing the ones that you don't. Although that whole thing gave me a bit of a nascent migraine.
What happens if the way I save the thing, I was trying to save you.
Yeah, wasn't Finn trying to save her when he crashed his thing? Wasn't that Chief? He was trying to save his friends.
The response to that is to bring someone in close and say, I can do both.
Okay, bear with me. If you keep this on Naboo, it could be that what Jar Jar is doing is getting this resistance, like Naboo being a lost cause, like, and there's this whole resistance on Naboo, and he knows they are going to execute the Emperor. Like, they're going to try to kill the Emperor, and it's like, no, this plan, again, as the machinations of the plot move on, it's like Jar Jar is figuring out more about their plan, the Emperor and them are getting closer to it. If you do that, like, I will be the one to execute the Emperor, but what he's ultimately doing is getting the entire resistance of Naboo off Naboo and out of there safely before Darth Vader or whoever is going to execute them. Can you do that? I mean, that's essentially what we had. We just had it on, like, a different planet. I'm trying to think if it's easier to kind of track it all.
That was what it was in the original episode as well. The idea was that the Emperor is coming to Naboo to personally witness the execution of the Kroke.
Okay, that's right.
That was the idea. The tricky thing we are in right now is that, so Kroke's been captured. And you have, so yes, you could do like, all right, let me see if we can do this. Because yes, you need to also like increase the stakes a little bit, right? You don't want to do Kroke is captured, but now we got to do some other thing. But then it comes back to, we got to rescue Kroke. Like, do you do that, like, Kroke has been captured, but Kroke, it's just tough. I'm so leery of just pulling something out of our ass this late in the movie. But again, I guess that's kind of our style. Like that she's part of like a bigger thing, right? Like she is an agent of X, Y, and Z proto-rebellion. And you know, that is what this, you know, like they've been trying to.
I mean, that's not pulling it out of our ass. Yeah, like, that's just an escalation. It's like, she's a rebel of some sort. She's attacking the Emperor and blowing up ships, like being like, you're just getting a better understanding of what their plans are. It's like the Emperor would be like, they're more dangerous than you think. This isn't just a bunch of people upset. This isn't just civil disorder. This is a whole, you know, military being formed on Naboo to undo, you know, the great empire that we've just started, you know, is going to be what they're going to tell Jar Jar. Like, this isn't just people upset about the plans. This is somebody who's trying to stop our, you know, conquest of the stars and the, you know, keeping everybody compliant and making a safe, you know, galaxy for everybody, every citizen, every senator and every planet. Like, that's what they're trying to do. And Jar Jar was like, ah, yeah, they sound really horrible. Like, I'll help you stop them or whatever.
Okay, so yes, what you do is the reason that the Supreme Commander of the Imperial Forces is here dealing with this isn't just to put down some petty local insurrection, right? Like, this has stakes that are bigger for the Empire than you could possibly know, right?
Yeah.
Which, okay, so now you're like, all right, that's good for Jar Jar. He'd be like, oh, good. Like, great. Like, we should help these rebels, right? Like,
here's a thought.
All right, go ahead.
The Death Star is like a black hole and it sucks everybody into it. But so looking up, the Death Star is made from 8 Kyber crystals.
Kyber crystals.
Kyber crystals. That could be what the Emperor's, that's like they're searching for, the Kyber crystals. So the first thing Jar Jar and Vader, like Vader's job is like he's trying to put down his rebellion, but he's also putting people out there to search for these Kyber crystals. You could do, the way they're going to execute this rebellion is they know the city, like they know where the rebellion's hiding. And they've gotten their first Kyber crystal, and the proto Death Star is this, like, you know, it's just a walking laser, and it's this one. And he's like, imagine the power of all these put together, we'll be able to destroy an entire world. Like, they're going to use it to blow up this entire, you know, continent. Like, essentially, he's going to destroy this entire southern area of Naboo, where all the rebellion is, and like make a grand statement. Because, by the way, we're just going to use all that land for our entire, you know, manufacturing section anyways. So, like, that could be what they are making, and the Emperor's here to see the first, you know, use of this big old laser or whatever.
Okay, and then where does that go? So then, like,
that seems like a big...
That feels like it's going to be Jar Jar has to stop a laser from firing at the end, right? Like, that
well,
feels
Jar
like,
Jar is there to execute... I mean, if you execute the Emperor...
Okay, right,
what
his
job
this?
Is to execute the Emperor, which
but
will...
But he doesn't execute the Emperor, so, like, what happens? Does the...
To tie it in with the Gungan stuff, what if this they have some, you know, artifact, something that they have deep in one of their underwater cities? It's one of the it's a giant Kyber crystal, uncut, raw, right?
Mm-hmm. Not to just jump away from that, like the way to figure out those questions is how the plot gets interesting, because like you have to like build up to that. It's like, okay, like again, he may not know everything. Like if when the day he's going to execute the Emperor, because the Emperor is here for some big master plan. Again, like knowing Jar Jar realizing that what, again, if it's the Emperor is here under some pretense of like, you know, like opening up a new.
Oh, I got it. I got a thing potentially that you could do. Mm-hmm. Here's what you could. Okay. Hear me out. So you could do that. Okay. So I have two thoughts. I have two separate thoughts. Let me talk about the plot thought first. And then I have a funny texture thought. So the plot thought okay. would be that, all right, so yes, they're testing the laser. And again, I'm a little leery that feels pretty close to what they're doing in Rogue One when they blow up the Jedi Hadar or whatever. Don't they do like a, we're testing the Death Star laser? Like, isn't that the thing?
I don't remember Rogue One. Oh, yeah, like it blows up the city. That's right.
We need to go smaller.
Putting that aside for a second, my thought was going to be like, okay, if you do that, like, they're going to fire some orbital weapon at, you know, the Gungan resistance homeworld or what, you know, like hub, you know, and, you know, wipe these people out. Then you would do that. Qui-Gon's like, here's what you're going to do, Jar Jar. You're going to sneak up, or like it would be like you're going to change that. You're going to sabotage the laser so that it's actually going to blow up and kill the Emperor. Like that's how it's going to. That's Jar Jar's plot, you know, and then the double feint winds up being like Jar Jar gets made. So he knows he's not going to be able to do this, but he goes on like this suicide mission feint, but really he's distracting them so that what he's really doing is providing cover so that Nate-38 can get everyone out of the way of the laser blast, you know, while he sacrifices himself to Darth Vader. So here's my texture, Zach. Here's my thing, because we've been planting this fish thing, right? And like that they need fish oil to power the turbo lasers of the like the galaxy or whatever. So rather than just go to Kyber crystals, which everyone else does, what if they're like, let me show you what all this fish oil is really being used for. And the fish oil is being used to power the Death Star or something like that. Or they're trying to capture.
Yeah, we talked about it. It's like lubricant. It's like an important commodity that's used on these.
Or it's like they're looking for some sort of mythical Gungan sea creature that they're going to like. Maybe the Death Star has like a Shamu tank in the middle of it. And like the Death Star has its own personal like Gungan, you know, star whale that it milks for oil or whatever. That hear me out. They're like, look, here's the problem. The problem is we're trying to run a galaxy and we can't just be shipping fish oil across the galaxy. You know, it's unsustainable, right? Like, we need a more permanent solution to the fish oil problem. And then the permanent solution to the fish oil problem is something nightmarish that's going to destroy the Gungan civilization and, like, or whatever, right?
Okay, you've answered the question of a thing I've always had about the Death Star. Does the Death Star have an aquarium? They're going to combine the Gungan underwater ball city technology with the need for fish oil. And that's the core of the Death Star, dude.
Not to be the naysayer on this. I think you essentially have, I mean, it's just outside the realm. I mean, it's you would just do, they're going to, again, deforest and like they're going to destroy the entire ocean population because they're just going to harvest all the fish in all of Naboo because, yes, the fish oil is the ultimate lubricant and that's going to be the primary function of, of Naboo. They're going to, like, everything outside of Theeds is just going to slowly get taken away, and this is the workhorse. Like, it's like a planet that's just mined completely for ore or whatever, or coal. Like, I don't know if you need it to be, like, this one specific fish that is going to be, like, taken out of the ocean on this specific day.
Yeah, I don't know if we needed it one specific fish or whatever. I just, I'm like,
it's
how
also,
do
like,
you, like...
It's also, like, that episode's, like, it's so outside. Like, you know, I love, I mean, Whoopsie, but I think in the world of Star Wars, it doesn't make any sense. Like, whether they just, like, slowly skin this fish piece by piece on the Death Star and just get little pieces of oil. It's like, no, they're going to harvest the whole ocean. And this
I guess to me, I'm like, that doesn't actually feel like an escalation of everything we already know, because we already know there. It's like, you know that thing we're doing? Well, we're doing it. Like, the, like, Jar Jar already knows they're harvesting oil for the Empire or whatever. Like, it's being like, yeah, but we know it's going
to
be bad.
The escalation. Okay, so just to work backwards. At a certain point, the escalation is that Jar Jar is going to have a chance to execute the Emperor, right? That's what we're building up to in terms of what Jar Jar is going to do. And then we need to get to a point which is, again, we've already established that they want to get rid of this rebellion, but then there's going to be an opportunity or the danger that the entire rebellion is going to be killed.
Yeah. Here's what, okay, so here's what I was going to say, is that it feels like what you would do is this. There is some plot, right, that Jar Jar discovers in this next scene that he is then going to try to stop, and he is going to fail. And after he fails, as part of his failure, his cover gets blown. Qui-Gon is exposed. You know, like, that's when we get to our low point of, like, Jar Jar is on his own and everyone hates him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you do, as a result of the Empire's plan going so well, the Emperor is going to come to Naboo and witness the execution or do the whatever, right? And now Jar Jar has this one shot that is this suicide plan, and you think that he's trying to execute the Emperor, but in reality, he's doing this thing to save other people's lives. Like, that to me is, like, how you thread that. So essentially what we need to come up with is, like, what is going to feel like a bigger crisis that is then going to, like, Jar Jar's going to be unable to stop, and he's going to get his cover blown.
Yes, and I would just say, we're not there yet. I don't know if the low point is he's exposed. We'll see when we get there. Like, often, like, Infernal Affairs and stuff, it's like, you kind of want to save, like, oh, Darth Vader, or they know who he is, to be a complication for his, like, end goal. Like, he's going to do, like, the final third act of And then it's like, oh, shit, Vader knows who he is, sort of thing. As opposed to just, like, anyways.
What we've been talking about, it feels like it should play off some of the stuff we've established, right? And again, and I guess here's the other thing is that, like, I don't think it can just be about the rebellion on Naboo, because Qui-Gon's whole thing is, like, fuck the rebellion on Naboo. We're getting you in here because you're going to be able to deal with a bigger fish problem that affects the whole galaxy, right? That's the idea.
The problem is, like, look, I mean, we make fun of that. One, it works in the Mission Impossible movies. But the problem with the Mission Impossible movies is, like, there's no greater. The problem is that they just are afraid of having any greater threat. There is no, like, Russian or Soviet empire that's going to destroy America. It's just spies knowing about spies who kill spies to stop other spies from being spies.
Well, yeah, and then, like, usually they're, like, they're doing, I mean, they've gotten into it, but it's usually he's an anarchist who wants to destroy the world, right? Anyway, so, but yes, I see what you're saying.
The fact that Naboo, because they're here on Naboo, the fact that this proto-rebellion is starting, there is obviously contact between them. Like, if they think there's a way, like, what their plan is to, again, they want to cut the heads off the snake before, you know, whatever, trying to play this metaphor, before it turns into a serpent or whatever. Like, they want to stop this as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And, like, they know there's a cell on Naboo, but they don't want to just destroy it, because then they're going to lose their contact to, you know, the one on Alderaan, and who's, you know, what are the other planets that have people that are working to stop the Empire? So, like, their best bet at, like, getting to who the heads, to the senators that, you know, are not happy with being reduced to governors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is, you know, this plan to essentially hit or infiltrate. What happens if Jar Jar's got to infiltrate? Croquet.
Send Jar Jar into the rebellion? Is that what you're saying? You do now he's got, like, interesting.
We got to get the contact.
You're saying the next thing is... It just feels so snake eating its own tail to me. It's just like,
how conspiratorial do you want
it? It's like, again, honestly, the new Star Wars movies ran into this problem too, where they still want the good guys to be the resistance, right? So, like, well, now it's the first, but we're the resistance first. Like, aren't you the government? And then it's like, with this, it's like the Empire is the big government.
But for example, like, Wesley, like, no, just 1 second. It was like, Jar Jar was like, okay, yeah, I got to find a way to get Krokey to trust that I'm on the inside or whatever. And then it's like, when Jar Jar fights out, it's like, Krokey and then we're like, hey, we're going to, like, blow up the school at Thedes to stop all the young Imperial soldiers from growing. Like, this is our plan. And Jar Jar's like, oh, God. Like, you know, now I'm on both sides, and this is like an intense war. What do I do?
Oh, so you're saying you do like the rebels are just as crazy kind of thing.
I don't know. I'm just floating around. It's a tough one.
We've gone from, oh, that's the plot of Rogue One, to the Jedi Knocklist is the plot of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Like, they're looking for a holocron that's going to tell them where all the Force-sensitive children are so they can start a new Jedi temple.
Yeah, I'm not saying the Jedi Knocklist. I'm saying this is the beginning of the rebellion. Like, right, this literally just started. And we know Bail Organa is not happy with this. We knew Padme was. Padme's already dead. Like, the Emperor is like, again, this is, in order for this to work, like, the first thing you do when you take power, right, with Stalin, anybody, you take power, you go and you find everybody who says they're your friend, but you know that they're dissidents, and you go and you execute them all.
A good old purge.
Emperor, step one here is like, okay, we got rid of all the Jedi. I know some of these senators that clapped, you know, at my thing are not, like, honestly, there's people who are making the rebellion. Like, our plan is to take out this rebellion before it can even really get started. And then we know there's one happening on Thedes, like, in Naboo. Like, this is already happening. Like, who is it? Like, does he know Bail Organa is already against him? Like, so that's what I'm trying to say. Is like, is that what it is?
The reason that that bumps for me is that it doesn't feel like an escalation, because we know, like, the audience knows about the rebellion. And then it's also, like, it doesn't, like... I'm trying to remember what we said with Qui-Gon. Like, Qui-Gon's like, I've got you here on your own. Like, it's you and me. I'm also trying to think back to, like, how, what would Qui, if then Jar Jar was like, all right, well, there's a big rebellion starting, you know, all over the galaxy. So then it would just be Qui-Gon would just be like, okay, so you need to what? You need to,
I mean,
like,
you could do...
what is the Empire's plan to crush it? It would also be the, and what, how does that involve the, like, Naboo or whatever? Because I guess I could see, but it's just, it's so meta. Like, it's like, we're just, because now you're, now it's not like we're trying to further our bad guy goals. It's like someone's trying to stop. That's what drives me nuts about the new movies, is that it's like the First Order exists to destroy the resistance exists to destroy the First Order, but it never expands beyond that into what someone actually fucking wants to do. So that's what they, like, it just, it's so Tom and Jerry.
I mean, no, I mean, I hear that, but I think, again, it just depends on what, I mean, look, there's like, it just depends on, right, like, we know the Empires are bad guys because they're doing bad things, they're killing people. We also know that the Emperor took an entire senatorial representative government and made it a dictatorship. So, like, okay, it's not just the First Order fighting the First Order because of the First Order. Like, people like Bail Organa and Padme are against, their ideology is, we are for representative government, we are against a dictatorship. Mm-hmm. Like, that is what they're trying to do. It's not just a snake eating its own tail, like, is one of the most classic, you know, stories in all of history. And it's like, do we want to do, there's either a Death Star type thing, and you are doing an adventure movie, and it's like, we are going to stop this Death Star type thing. Or again, it's tough because we haven't set up, like, the only character we really have that we've established is Bail Organa, and it's kind of redundant to Order 66, but, like, right, it is definitely a valid plot to be like, what's going to happen is Darth Vader, once they find out who are all the governors that are against the Emperor, we're inviting them all to some event on Thedes, and we're going to execute everybody who's a dissident. Like, that is, like, the ultimate, and, like, that would be crushing. Like, Qui-Gon would obviously be against that. Like, if the Emperor were to kill every single person who's against, like, all the major leaders who are against the Empire, you know, in the early days, that would be a massive blow. Like, it would take, you know, decades to, you know, for any sort of rebellion to get any sort of infrastructure and, you know, strong resistance against them. So, like, that would be obviously devastating. The problem is, like, on an emotional level, we don't really care. Like, it's not like Padme's around or Bail Organa's around. Yeah. It's just, like, a bunch of nameless.
And certainly no one you care about more than Croke, who's already has her neck on the line. Do you know what I mean? That's, yes.
Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah, that's what's tricky about it, is it doesn't, it's like, I'm like, ooh, it doesn't feel like, oh, no. Again, like, so the, ooh, it's a tricky one.
Okay, just to think about it, it's like, Infernal Affairs, like, I don't give a shit about the drug trade or the police force. Like, I'm not like, oh, man, the stakes of, like, oh, these poor people who are addicted to drugs if this drug trade keeps going. Like, oh, no, the cops are like, I'm like, I care about this one man's soul and his relationship with,
yes,
you know, his, the one person who is trying to help him through this. And, like, we understand that there's a greater moral, you know, battle going on in the world between drugs and crime and whatnot. But, like, the fact that it's kind of gray and uncertain is actually part of the theme. Like, right, Infernal Affairs would probably be less effective if it was like, I'm, you got to do this because, like, they're going to blow up planet Earth. It's like, okay, like, if he was whining about his job, I'd be like, shut the fuck up, like, save planet Earth. Like, I don't care that it's hard.
Yeah, sort of thing.
So that might be part of the difficulty of trying to, like, tie this to
it's also, we are ending this in a dark way where the bad guys win. So, like, the, okay, so, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. So Crokey has been captured.
Bear with me. What? Okay, last shot, because this could be something adventurous. I know it'll punt it and it's going to make it complicated down the line, but this could be fun. What if the scene at the Red Council or whatever is them saying, great, Jar Jar. So what you're going to do tomorrow is you're going to break Crokey out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like, yes, we want you
to infiltrate a double agent. Or is it the double stuff?
Infiltrate the rebellion because we need to find out all. And yes, like Bail Organa, at least Bail Organa is like a name, you know. It's like we want to find out everybody who Crokey and all the governors that are fighting against the Emperor.
Here's what you would do. You would say like, okay. I'm more cloak and dagger, but so like if you were going to do it, it would be that Jar Jar walks into this meeting and Darth Vader's there and you realize what they've been trying to do is figure out a plan for infiltrating the rebellion.
Yes.
And then you would do that. Darth Vader's like, I have a plan. We send in Jar Jar. Like that's my new plan. Because Jar Jar has earned my trust, this is the person I think should be our agent, you know? And then we're going to send him in and he's going to get the names of all the people. And then essentially what you would do is that Jar Jar plays along, you know, yes. But then he does get everyone captured. That's your low point. And then, yes, you would do mm-hmm. The Emperor is coming to witness the executions. And then.
Oh, and by the way, I think, Will, those executions, just want to throw us out here, Star Wars nerd thing. Those executions are happening, ironically, on Life Day. It's Life Day celebrations on the entire planet. It's the Life Day Day Parade. You know what I'm saying? Then we can do a parade scene.
Yeah, that's true.
The executions, they put them all in a line, like back to back, and then Darth Vader just dials his little knob and slowly extends a lightsaber
through one person's throat
to the next person's throat.
Oh, God. All right, so yes, if you were going to do that, it would be, yes, you would do that. That's what the Red Council or whatever has been trying to figure out is, like, who's going to be their insider? You know, like, every spy, and again, they've been sending spies. They've been sending spies in, and every spy has come back with a fucking bullet in their head, and they're like, we're going to send in Jar Jar, and Jar Jar's like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm already doing this. I don't want to do more. It's like in Friends, when Joey knows that Monica and Chandler are dating, and then they're like, they don't know that you know that we know. And it's like this whole, like, it just keeps getting worse.
Well, yeah,
and
there's a scene where they all realize they all know. He's like, great, now we can finally tell everybody. They're like, no, we can't tell everybody because we want to do a prank. And
they wind up using him as their, yeah. So, okay, so you would do that. All right. And this is just to get us through to the next thing. But that makes sense because I understand it's not just a thing that Jar Jar fails to accomplish. Like, he fails by succeeding in his thing, right?
Yes.
It also allows you to still retain Qui-Gon's position of being like, well, you better play along because, like, the Emperor's going to expose himself.
What's interesting about being undercover is that it inherently is constantly making you take trolley problems because you're constantly having to be like, in order to be undercover, I have to do bad things. So it's like, mm-hmm. at what point is the bad things you're doing to be undercover worse than the thing you're trying to stop? And if that thing is an enigma and you don't quite know, it's just a vague, like, help the rebellion, you know, it gets harder and harder to keep doing things.
Okay, so this is fun because you would do this. You would do that Jar Jar. Again, it's just Jar Jar is like a 7-layer pawn by the end of this thing.
Yeah.
Because you would do that. They're like, and again, it just makes it, you're right. There's a frustrating element of it to Jar Jar, but it's like also the idea that's like, you think like Jar Jar's like, I'm going to find out that they've got something and then I can pass on the information to Qui-Gon and then I'm done, right? Like, that's like, I'm the fucking out. Yeah. And then what happens is they're like, he comes into this red table room or whatever, like this with the Red Council, and like there's a big 3D rotating model of his own head, and they're being like, yeah, this is our plan.
Yeah.
And it's like going further down the line, you would do that. Jar Jar gets sent in, he breaks out Crokey. Now it's like, can he get Crokey to trust him? It's like, I've been working from the inside, blah blah blah, whatever. And then you would do that. Crokey takes him back to the Resistance hideout, and then the Resistance knows that Jar Jar is a double agent, and the Resistance is about to execute Jar Jar, and then Darth Vader comes in and saves Jar Jar, kills a shitload of people, and they capture the rest of the rebellion, and now they're going to use this mass execution as a way to send a message to the rest of the galaxy, is the plan.
And you get a good scene where it's like Jar Jar's talk, now Jar Jar's got to meet Darth Vader on the top of a rooftop to tell him about Crokey, and then Darth Vader disappears, and Jar Jar's like, God damn. And then he turns around and Qui-Gon's there. He's like, so what did Darth Vader tell you? He's like, oh, God. And then Darth Vader's like, hey, were you talking to somebody? He's like, no, I wasn't. Oh, God.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's very too much.
And then Crokey's like, why are you on that rooftop all the time? He's like, I don't know why I'm on the rooftop all the time.
And the cover of the movie is Jar Jar standing between Darth Vader and Qui-Gon. And Darth Vader's like, I don't know what side I'm on.
Yeah, he's like, That's fun. I like that. And it doesn't involve kyber crystals. Like every time, I'm so like, I'm sorry, Star Wars. Every time I hear the phrase kyber crystals, like my brain does that thing in The Simpsons where you hear it like step running down the steps and getting into its car and driving away. I'm like, here's the problem, Freddy, is I can't think of a single crystal I've given a fucking solitary shit about in a movie. What have you ever been like? They're like, whoa, the crystal. I'm like, it's a crystal. I don't care.
Well, like, they're not magic anymore. We know what lightsabers are. We've watched enough Star Wars that lightsabers are just a weapon. So it'd be like doing a whole movie around like, we have to find the lead. There's a bullet somewhere. It's like, I don't give a shit. I get it. It's a part of a weapon. It's a gun.
We need to find this aircraft grade aluminum to craft these guns. Okay, cool.
Star Wars has this fascinating it's turtles all the way down thing. Like, again, like the whole, like, the clone troopers are all Boba Fett or, you know, yes. Darth Vader made C-3PO. I don't think there's anything more Star Wars than the Death Star being a lightsaber. Like being a big lightsaber is like the most fucking Star Wars thing of all lightsaber. Time. They're like, well, you know that cool thing? It's actually a very big other cool thing that you also like.
You're right. One of the biggest weird things about Star Wars is the need for literally everything to be self-contained and connected with everything else. But the problem is George Lucas rolled the dice on all of those objects all the way back in the 70s, and we've just been doing that nonstop.
It's the difficulty of when you are beholden to this original vision. It's like you feel scared to go beyond what George Lucas did, and as you write 100 novels and get farther and farther out, it gets more absurd that like everything's a lightsaber and everything is this. Not to keep bringing it back to 40K, but it's just the world of like, if you just let 1,000 authors do 1,000 things with 1,000
armies.
Here
we go again. Matt's daughter and 40K.
I know, Matt Salvador, first button. But I can't. Look, we're writing Star Wars and I'm reading a lot of 40K, so I can't help but use those two things to examine lore building.
I will say, I do think the novels in Star Wars do a much better job of expanding it, because they have to, right?
Yeah, like, I think that's why a lot of people are attached to the EU. Yeah,
yeah. And I mean, I think it's interesting that essentially, like, they're starting to use the EU the way that Marvel uses the comics, right? Which is that, like, books and comics are a very cheap way to test out sci-fi concepts to see what people get excited about, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that the movies would have done Thrawn without, like, the, like, you know, here's the bona fide proof that this weird purple admiral guy, like, works, right? Now you're like, all right, I'll try this. I'll get Benedict Cumberbatch to play this guy or whatever. So, okay. So, anyway, that's very good. So, this next scene is then that he's like, come, we have much to discuss, right? So then,
and I like the idea that they're going to set up, like, he prison breaks Croquet out, which is, like, a way to build trust with Croquet. Right.
Yes. So this next scene is going to be Darth Vader leading Jar Jar into this meeting, right? Like, he's going to, because he goes into his little Zoom room and they're going to boot up the Red Council, and it's like this whole hologram table thing. And the Emperor's going to be like, welcome to, what the fuck is Jar Jar doing here? Are you kidding me, Darth Vader? And he's like, you know that new spy sound you've been listening for? Listen to this.
I got right here.
So essentially, yes, that scene is, we've got the Emperor and Darth Vader and these council members. And I feel like we should have some fun, by the way, with like who those council members are, like who are, like, this is like sort of like the Emperor's Hydra, right? Like, this is his, so like, I'm trying to think if there are some fun
Teen
Yoda. Yaddle is a dark council member. No,
it's like evil teen Yoda who doesn't care and is like texting and playing emulated games on his PS Vita the entire time. Vape, I must. Teen Yoda, put away that vape. About to get a victory royale, I am.
We
Yoda, we're in the meeting. Put away your Nintendo Switch.
We almost went a whole episode without a gamer joke.
Doing e-games, without a teen gamer joke.
It's not. It's a wacky green alien teen vaping gamer joke. You found it, Freddy.
I've done it. Story break has reached its natural conclusion. Gentlemen, you may not like it, but this is what peak performance sounds like.
I like the thing being like, this is what the Red Council is about, right? And then he presses a button and like the symbol of the rebellion shows up, the little dually dad. And then it's rotating around and they're like, this symbol has shown up on here and here. Like, we're, again, it's their version of Hydra. They're like, this is the boogeyman. This could destroy us. They're kind of freaked out by it. And you would be like, we see it all over the place, but we don't know who it's a part of. Well, Croquet is a part of it.
Yeah.
Right. Every spy we've sent in has been killed. So we need a new one.
Yes.
And then you would do like, then, so you want to end the scene with then like, he's like, yes, I have, you know, I think I have our man. And then they all turn to Jar Jar. Jar Jar's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. When he comes to the Red Council, there's like 8 chairs and, you know, they all sit down. There's an empty chair for him. And he gets there's just a pile of ash. He's like, oh, it's like, ah, yes, that was the previous. It's the awesome powers thing. is like, he had a son, he had a teen gamer son who said something mean about the Emperor. So this, again, this is the eight most trustworthy people that the Emperor knows. And, you know, he had a teen gamer who said the Emperor ate balls. So we had to execute him and his whole family.
Oh, yes. Let's definitely kill someone at the beginning of the scene.
Yes.
And be like, this is the room where the seven most trustworthy people in the Empire are. And then you do, they're like, seven, but Lord, there's eight people in the room. And then it's like, yeah, so-and-so from the next planet child not be joining us anymore. And then they fucking burst into flames on the hologram because it's like Darth Vader. You know, we've always seen, okay, hear me out. Like, we've seen that Darth Vader can choke someone from like across three Star Destroyers. Like, he can do it over hologram. I want to see the Emperor force lightning someone. Like, yeah. You see him go like this, and then a guy on the other side of the room just starts electrocuting and explodes. It's like, there's a new seat open, and I hear that Darth Vader has someone he'd like to join the council today.
Your Belinda, step a little closer to your USB port. Just a little bit. What? And to your right. Why? Just a little more to your right. It's just the light is coming in just nice on your video call. Yes, right there. You've fallen for my trap.
I sent everybody an agenda. It's like, Emperor, my font's very small. Maybe you should lean in and get a little closer. Can you make the font larger? Just lean in, get closer to your screen. You should be able to read it just fine. And he leans in and just says, you're dead.
Last meeting should have been an email.
Yes, you would do that. He brings him in. Because, yes, the plan was like that they were going to introduce Jar Jar to the Red Council. Right, because the Emperor's already come up with this plan. The Emperor was like, what do you think about using Jar Jar as our spy? And then Darth Vader was like, I don't know, Jar Jar knows my name, so I'm gonna vibe check him, you know, to make sure he's cool. And that's what the previous scene was about. So now he gets let in the room, and then yes, they're like, welcome, like, to, we're gonna introduce our newest member, you know, Jar Jar, you're sitting in the Yelik, and it's like, there's a new vacancy open. And then like, what vacancy? I didn't hear about a vacancy. It's like, oh yes, you didn't hear about it because you were at your rebel spy meeting. Blah, and he zaps someone. And then Jar Jar is invited to sit down again because it's all over hologram or whatever. It's like, yes, you can, you know, whatever. And they're like, let us bring you up to speed. Like, this meeting is about one thing, this. And then it shows the thing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know,
I think you end with literally, you're going to break Croquet out and infiltrate. Like, that's the cliffhanger. It's like, oh shit, like, he's gonna. And by the way, just a thought, like, I definitely think when you do, maybe I just like this because it's also our movie, but I feel like in order to make it sell, I think during the prison break, there should be one part where he's helping Croquet out and he turns the corner and Vader's just in the corner. He's like, I'm sorry, Jar Jar, but this needs to look good. He just fucking cuts Jar Jar's hand off. So like, when, like, during the escape, like, Croquet's gonna be like, yeah, I mean, Jar Jar is legit, like, he lost his arm trying to save me. Like, that wouldn't be something you would do. It's like, damn, dude, this fucking metal. And poor Jar Jar, man, he's just fucking in the thick of it. Like, he can't return from this. Anyways, we'll see when we get there.
That's pretty gnarly. We'll see. I thought you were going to be like, Jar Jar has to shoot Darth Vader. And it's like, oh, wow, Jar Jar got a shot on Vader.
All right. I think we got it.
Heck yeah. I mean, it's one table scene to the next. But yeah, somebody dying's good. That gives a little, you know, the audience loves that kiss, kiss, bang, bang. And we already got the kiss, kiss scene. You know, they don't actually kiss, but, you know, slurping on a straw. Yeah. Erotic, charged nature scene of the previous scene.
It might be one table scene to another, but as a Goodreads review of Pride and Prejudice once said, complaining that it was, quote, all just people going to each other's houses. Sometimes you gotta have a couple of those scenes, all right?
All right, yeah. But, okay, I get that. And then, yes, I get this very fun hook of, like, Qui-Gon just made him again, it's like, it actually, I think the futility of it and, like, how much Jar Jar is just getting sent around, like, this stupid pawn in everyone's games, like, makes sense for the story on a thematic level as well. Like, he literally just did all of this work to get Croquet arrested, and now he's gotta bust her out is, like, absurd. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna go type that up, and when we come back, we'll read the scene.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we're the hosts of One Bad Mother, a podcast about parenting. Parenting is hard, and we have no advice, but we do see you doing it.
Honk if you like to do it. Didn't we have a bumper sticker a while back that was like, honk if you did it? That's what it was.
I think it was honk if you're doing it.
Why did we not ever make those?
We did make them. I think they're still in the Max Fun store.
Honk, honk, you're doing it.
Thanks, Biz. So are you.
Each week, we'll be here to remind you that you're doing a good job.
You can find us on MaximumFun.org. Honk, honk.
Toot, toot.
Interior, council room, night. Vader's gloved fist hits a button on the wall of this dark, ominous meeting room. One by one, the holographic figures of the Red Council appear in obsidian seats arranged in a circle.
By the way, really quick, I know you just started, but fucking holograms on seats are like my favorite thing.
Yeah, no, it's one of my specific Star Wars kinks.
I love when people still put seats ready for a hologram.
Yeah, it's like the Jedi Council. They all got chairs, even when they're in holograms.
I love it.
Among their ranks, a Hutt, a Rodian, a Mandalore, an evil Ewok, some stuffy white English guy, and of course, Emperor Palpatine.
You're really telling me that it's this diverse?
I guess, shit, you know what?
The Death Star bridge was all white guys.
Actually, I think specifically the Empire is racist against non-humans, so that would technically have to change, but I wanted to have fun with it. And there's a very good joke later on that I'm very proud of, so we're going to keep it for now. That's a draft two thing.
Okay, got it.
Vader approaches the table, taking his place at the right hand of the Emperor. Jar Jar follows, nervously taking in the sinister scene.
This meeting of the illustrious Red Council is now called to order. Long live the Emperor.
Long live the Emperor.
Long live the Emperor.
Yep, yep.
No, it's evil. evil. His voice got evil.
I believe our first order of business is the swearing in of our newest member. Governor Binks, step forward.
A murmuring commotion breaks out amongst the surprised members of the council. This is news to them. Jar Jar glances nervously from the upset council members to Vader.
Silence.
The murmuring stops in a swift instant. Vader motions Jar Jar forward. Jar Jar steps into the middle of the circle.
Raise your hand and repeat these words. My life for the Empire.
Jar Jar raises a hand and swallows down his nerves.
My life for the Empire.
Congratulations, Governor. You now join my five most trusted advisors on this council.
More frightened murmuring and panicked looks among the council. Jar Jar counts the number of people in the room.
Don't you so mean six advisors?
The Emperor gives a devilish smile.
Serve me well, and untold riches and power shall be yours. Betray me, and your seat on this council shall be vacated.
The Emperor's hologram raises his hand, and Force Lightning flies from his fingertips. Across the room, the evil Ewok screams as Force Lightning appears in his hologram and fries his body to a crisp.
Yup, 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 yup.
Jar Jar watches in absolute horror as the Ewok council member collapses in a smoldering heap on the chair.
Please be seated.
Jar Jar gulps. With no other seat available, he sits down on the Ewok's chair. The Ewok's holographic corpse shimmers like a phantom as Jar Jar's butt passes through it.
Now then, to current affairs. Vader?
Vader stands and addresses the council. A holographic picture of a captured Croquet Seal appears in the center of the room.
The Gungan known as Croquet Seal has thus far proven highly resistant to interrogation. Yet a search of her quarters at the temple has turned up a promising lead.
Croquet's image vanishes, replaced by a photo of a small, tattered journal. Emblazoned on its cover is the Starbird, the symbol of the Rebel Alliance.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called the Starbird. Isn't that cool?
Oh, cool. I guess. That's a good name.
As we suspected, Croquet and her insurgents are a part of the Galactic Terrorist Network, known only by this symbol.
A dozen more images appear around the picture of the journal. Photos from bombings, assassinations, and sabotage sites. And each we see the Starbird.
The symbol has appeared on over a dozen worlds in connection to sabotage, assassination, and anti-imperial propaganda.
The image collapses and transforms into a hologram of Naboo.
And now, certain communiques retreat from Seal's hiding place lead us to believe that the ringleaders of this network are hiding on Naboo. Our next course of action is clear. Infiltrate the insurgency from within and destroy it.
The stuffy white English guy sneers at Vader.
No.
Matt, take it away.
Oh, all right, here we go.
Here we go.
Plug your nose.
Oh, no.
And whom are we sending down the womp-rat hole this time, Lord Vader?
Oh, shit.
Every spy you've sent after these terrorists has turned up dead.
Damn,
very good.
Was it? All right.
I have already selected an ideal candidate. He shall earn their trust by liberating Croquet Seal.
This proposal meets with incredulous scoffs from the council. All right, I need a Mandalore. Freddy, give me like your best New Zealand gruff Mandalore accent.
Damn, okay, give me a second.
New Zealand.
The fix,
save your bluff is the oldest trick in the book. A prolax seal will never fall for it.
Sounds a little more South African than me, but we'll roll with it.
Hold on, let me adjust the continent a little bit over South Africa.
The fix, save your bluff is the oldest trick in the book. Prolax seal will never fall for it.
I don't know the difference, so I'm good.
Unless her savior is someone she already knows. Someone who saved her life before. Someone she wants to believe is on her side.
The council members nod in recognition as they realize who Vader is talking about. One by one, every person in the room turns to stare at Jar Jar. He looks at them all in confusion. Then he gets it.
Aw, are you so flippin' kidding me?
You might be wondering how I...
Record scratch.
I hate that last line. I couldn't crack the last line of the scene. It's so corny. Really?
I mean, he can just... It could just be his ear is full down and he shrinks in his chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just like he sits on his hands.
He turns
and...
to camera and goes, that went well.
Well, he poops himself.
Jar Jar looks over and says, English, please.
So anyway, yeah, that's the... Yeah. Where we're cooking. We're moving our next act.
It's about to get real in here.
We got to do a fun council scene. Poor little Ewok got fried.
Always love a good council scene.
That's how you know it's for the kids.
That's
the equivalent of Babe 2 when they strangle a dog off a bridge and almost drown it. And everybody was like, wait a second. I brought my kids to this movie. What happened? That's this scene. They're like, oh, yeah, Star Wars. Yeah, my kids will love this. Oh, Ewok's great. I know this one's a little dark and weird so far, but here's the Ewoks. This part's for the kids. And then we killed it. So,
dang.
Yeah, we're in good company. Everybody go see Babe 2, by the way.
Speaking of good company, what about the company the fan art keeps us every week, Will?
All right. Mm. We got some good stuff to talk about this week, gentlemen. Thanks to Leo on Twitter, who sent us a lovely picture of Jin from Heaven Heist looking dapper in a trench coat and a halo.
Oh, hell yeah.
Almost like a little bit of a David Tennant Doctor Who vibe from this trench coat I'm picking up right now. Thanks again to Story Broke, who treated us to two very fun pieces of fan art, two campaign posters for Jar Jar and Darth Vader, like a kind of Misa Want Yusa and I Want You, and also gave us a Kellogg's poster inspired by the Watchmen poster from Zack Snyder's The Watchmen. So very apropos. Sounds like someone might have been watching the Snyder Cut when they came up with that one. And then last but certainly not least, Brent Everfolly sent us an incredible poster for Bark and Bite, the new police procedural starring Mads Mikkelsen and Bandit the Dog. And I think this is the idea is that it's a Hannibal Lecter dog team up like we were talking about in last week's episode. So thanks very much to Bren for that. And that is our very fine fan art. You can find that on twitter.com/RJStoryBreak, or you can join the discussion at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB.
And you can find other podcasts at MaximumFun.org. We're part of the Maximum Fun Network, you see, and there's a bunch of podcasts on this network that we're a part of, you see, and you just go to MaximumFun.org and look at the podcast, you see?
See?
Hand over
the podcast so no one gets hurt. Max Fun Drive's coming up, y'all. We'll have exciting news around the Max Fun Drive. We'll reveal what our new piece of bonus content is going to be once we figure what it's going to be, and so look forward to that coming down the pipe.
Very good. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. Chad Ellis edits this podcast.
Thanks,
we'll see you all next week. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold.
Matt, do the English voice.
That's the end.
I started listening to Ono, Ross, and Carrie shortly after I broke my arm.
I was allergic to water. I knew it was time to make a change.
There's something about Ono, Ross, and Carrie that you just can't get anywhere else.
They're thought leaders, discoverers, founders,
healers,
luminaries.
Ross and Carrie don't just report on French science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal. They take part themselves.
They show up so you don't have to.
But you might find that you want to.
My arm is better.
My landlord came back from the dead.
Just go to MaximumFun.org.
Thank you, Ross and Carrie.
Ono, Ross and Carrie is just a podcast. It doesn't do anything. It's just sounds you listen to.